The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me.
Good morning, Focus Church. I'm so glad that you have joined me. Like Pastor Brian said, we are in the series My Verse. And for the last 7 weeks, we've gotten to hear some really inspirational and really uplifting stories from 7 of our other pastors. I have really enjoyed the series. I hope you have too. And I hope throughout this series, you have found your verse. If you haven't, let me encourage you today, go home, read the Bible, and find your verse. God wants you to get in his word, and he wants you to be able to claim it as your own. Today, I'm titling my message, Truly Trust. What does it take to truly trust God with everything that you have? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of the message, I will give you the opportunity to receive that hope. Now, if you have your Bible, or if you have your phone and you've got the Bible app on it, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1. So if you want to go there, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. If you have your message notes that you received when you came in the door, go ahead and get those out now. It says there on the top, Daniel chapter 1. If you didn't get them, you can grab them from the back door. If you raise your hand, somebody will bring them to you right at this moment. And I just wanted to say hi to everybody who's watching online. We're so glad you have joined us, and I'm glad that you guys are here in person as well. Today, we're looking at the Book of Daniel. It's kind of a lot. I've gone over a few times. I'm really sorry. Pastor Ryan's been lecturing here. Sermon's too long. And that's because I'm looking at the whole book of Daniel. So you guys can forgive me for that one. But the book of Daniel focuses mainly on 4 men. Daniel, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you've been in church for some time, or even if you haven't, you might have heard of these people. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they end up in a fiery furnace. So those are kind of some of the big Bible stories you might hear. A lot of times we don't put those stories together, but I want to talk today because I think it's like a running big storyline, like the Bible is, of all the different stories, and they really go together. And because of what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, because of what Daniel did, they could do it. Because of what they did, Daniel could do what he did. So we're going to look through all of that today. Now, if you don't know me, I'm Pastor Ryan's wife, and he's right, I'm not usually up here, and I kind of didn't want to be up here a whole lot, mainly because I'm really comfortable where I'm at normally with kids and in the lobby greeting people and saying hello, running things in the background. I've been really, really comfortable with children for the last 25 years. I enjoy it. I've raised 5 kids of my own. I know what to say to them. I know that God's given me a gifting in that, and so I feel really comfortable. Now, I'm really comfortable on the stage here. My dad was a pastor, and I got really comfortable on the stage because he used to say to me, "Hey, Shelly, stop talking down there and come sit up here with me." So I was a pastor's kid, and I would get in trouble often. I like to talk. Might be why my message is too long. But he would just call me out. And so my dad and mom knew that I needed to know the word of God, and if I was talking with my friends, it wasn't going to happen. And my dad was just kind of strict like that, and he's like, "Get up here and sit with me. You can sit on the platform." So I became really comfortable, but then God has used that to help me be able to talk to kids and people of all ages. When we're really comfortable like I am with kids, God likes to say things like, "Hey, you look kind of comfortable there, and you're depending on yourself, and now I need you to depend on me." So he calls us out of our comfort zone and he says, "Hey, get on the stage and talk to adults." So here I am, and I'm only doing this with God's help today. And I hope that everything I say is just what he would have me to say. So let's go back to Daniel. Right here at the beginning of Daniel, we find that God's people, the Israelites, they have been in the promised land. They had been doing what they were supposed to be doing, but like all of us, they start doing the wrong thing. And so they are no longer worshiping God. They are no longer listening to his word and doing what it says. Instead, They're listening to God's word and not doing what it says. And God says, hey, I'm going to stop you from doing that. I'm going to take you into captivity. The Babylonians are coming in and they're taking you. And so at the beginning of Daniel chapter 1, if we look at verse 3, it says, the king ordered Azarpan, his chief staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family. So Judah's God's people that have taken out. And other noble families who have been brought to Babylon as captives. Verse 4, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. All the single ladies say amen. So there they are, they're saying, hey, now look at these people that we've captivated. Get the ones who have a noble upbringing. People who were in the royal palace, they are the ones who have been taught. Little did they know they had been taught God's word. They have learning. And it says, as we go on there, it says, select the strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. He said, make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning. So girls, these guys are strong, they're healthy, they're good-looking, and they can learn. They're gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and suited to serve in the royal palace. So now we have these strong, good-looking, healthy young men, and they're smart. And then something else happens. It says, train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. Now they're bilingual. They probably have this like really cute accent and they're these really cute guys. And they are going to get assigned to eat the daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were trained for 3 years and then they would enter royal service. So now like these guys are trained. They're giving them the best food. They're giving them the things that they want. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were the 4 young men chosen from all the tribe of Judah. So they are like the top of the top. They are the best looking men. They are strong and healthy. And now they are going to serve in the kingdom. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you that you help us to understand, that you help us to grow from your word, that you allow us to listen and learn. Help us today to have our hearts and our minds open to what you would have for us to hear. Help us grow from it. And Father, I pray that we would just change from what you have for us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the guys have been living in the royal palace before they go to Babylon. They've been taught, because in that royal palace, they would have been taught God's word. They would have been taught the laws of the land, the things that they were supposed to know, because someday they may have been in charge of the land. So they have this upbringing. Their parents have been teaching them, and they learn all the things that they need to learn. They were a little bit like I was. Oh, I wasn't in a royal palace. In fact, my dad was a pastor. And if anybody knows what that looks like, they don't make a ton of money. And they don't have a lot of things. And so my dad taught me the word of God, and he taught me to trust God with all the things that we needed. Because when there wasn't enough food in the house, we had to trust God. When we didn't have a house because things took it away, we had to trust God. When we moved to Brownsville, Texas, I was the only white kid in all of the school. Everyone was Hispanic, everyone spoke Spanish but me. I was the only blonde-headed girl in all of the, I was the only blonde-headed kid. I was the only 1% of the night, I was the 1% non-Hispanic at that school. And I learned to trust God because my God said, hey, you're going to school and you're gonna be a light. And you're going to invite kids to church that don't even speak your language and it'll be okay. And they did, and it was, and God moved. And I could trust God because my parents kept teaching me and teaching me and teaching me. Well, after a while, my dad had been a pastor, and my grandparents call my dad up and they're like, hey, your uncle has a brain tumor. My grandparents owned a farm. Farm is a family business. My uncle, who had been there running it, has a brain tumor. He's gonna have to go to Mayo's and we need you to come home. So my dad moved home to be with my grandparents and help with the farm. And I went with him because, you know, we're a family. And so at the age of fifth grade, we moved back to Kansas. I had lived in Texas all of my life. We moved back to where my parents are from, and we live on a farm now. I have been a pastor's kid in the city my whole life. We moved to a farm. It was a really fun thing. I loved it. But while we're living on that farm, a couple of years later, something happens. My grandparents are home, like we live on a family farm. There's like 6 houses on the farm. All of the family lives there. Mind you, I have lived away from our family this whole time until now. So yay, there's all the family there. But all of this family live there. My mom and dad are gone to work. They're not at the farm right now. My dad drove a truck at that point, and he was out of state. My mom is working. She did work for the church the whole time we lived there. And my grandpa comes to me, and he's like, hey, you need to get to the cellar. There's a tornado coming. Well, that happened in Kansas all the time. We lived on a farm. That's what happened. My great-grandpa had built a cellar on the land. We go to the cellar, and I'm like, this is normal. Not a big deal. My sister gets home from work right then. She comes down to the cellar, and then something strange happens. My grandpa comes to the cellar. If you live in Kansas, you know that when tornadoes happen, the kids go to the cellar or the basement, and the dads don't. Like, they watch the storm come in. And they're like, oh, look, it's really cool. There's a tornado over there. It's awesome. So when my grandpa and my uncle came to the cellar, something was wrong. And it was wrong, because literally they walked down the stairs of the cellar, and all of a sudden my dad's cousin is a not small man, is holding the door, and it hits. And off his feet fly off of the ground, he is up in the air holding onto the door, and it seems as though it was in slow motion. I was in seventh grade, I remember it like it was yesterday. You are praying, like I have been taught to trust God, and I am praying and saying, hey, I need for God to intervene right now, and intervene he did. Because at about that time, as this guy is flying out, a tree falls on the door, and we are trapped in that cellar. So, you know, a tornado is pretty quick, but it seems like in slow motion. So the tree falls down, we can smell gas. Now, in those days, lots of people smoke cigarettes, and they're like, hey, don't light your cigarette right now, because there's gas everywhere. And when people get nervous, they do that. So it was kind of a funny thing. And then we try to use the phone, which was really kind of dumb because we're stuck in the cellar. It was just we didn't have mobile phones back then. I know all the teenagers are like, yeah, you use the phone, call them. But we had a handheld phone that was attached to a building. It doesn't work when the building is no longer there, in case you wondered. You have to have a cord for that one. So the phone doesn't work. Eventually, because there are so many men in that cellar, they are working at getting the door up. My grandpa walks out of the cellar and says, there is nothing left. And when he said that, he really meant it. There were no walls standing. There was nothing there. It was just trash, basically. I had no clothes. There was no place to live. If you talk about it, there's all these families that live there, and now we all have to find someplace else to live. And that was our livelihood, the farm was. And when a field has a tornado go through it, it's not quite the same. So through that all, my parents taught me to trust God. My verse came about that time. And it's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, I didn't mention that a couple of things that happened before this tornado happened was we lived in Port Arthur, Texas, down by the Gulf of Mexico, and we had had a flood hit our house already. So I knew what it was to have things taken away from you and that God would provide again. And then we had a hurricane hit our house, and more things were taken away from us then. So we learned that, hey, yeah, I was away from there, but I learned to trust in God then. So when a tornado hit, you know, it was kind of like, this is just what happens. Like, you lose everything, and then God takes care of it. And take care of it, he always did. And so God provided for us. I learned to trust God because I was taught. And the first thing I want you to realize is that trust is taught. So when you're a parent, you have to learn that, hey, I have to teach my kids that God takes care of things. If I'm freaking out every time something happens, if I'm worried about it, then I'm not teaching my kids that God's got this, when he really just does. So, trust is taught. Daniel and his friends were taken as teens, but they knew God's word, and they knew God. And when they started getting some attacks in this foreign land where their parents weren't, they knew what to do. So the king has them there, and the king's like, hey, make them ready for royal service. And that means I'm going to give you all the good food. I want you to be strong and healthy. I'm going to give you all the meat that you can eat, protein galore, because that's going to make you strong and healthy. But Daniel knew that that wasn't what God wanted him to eat. That's kind of weird, but in his law, and what God wanted for him was, these are the things you're supposed to eat, and these are the things you're not supposed to eat. And he remembered that from his childhood, because it says in Daniel 8:1, But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, when he asked, the chief of staff was like, yeah, no, if you become weak, I'm in trouble. So I think, no, you should not eat this. But then Daniel's like, no, really, you let us do this for 10 days, and if it works, then we can keep doing it. And guess what happened? In verse 15, it says, at the end of those 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young man who had been eating the food assigned to the king. So when Daniel followed God and did what he was supposed to be doing, the things that he had been taught, God provided for him. He learned to trust God and say, hey, if I do what I'm supposed to do, God will take care of the rest. And he did. These men are healthy and following God. As parents, as grandparents, as friends, aunts, uncles, it is super important for us to teach our kids the word of God. Because you can't follow God's word if you don't know God's word. If you are just letting your kids go through life and you haven't opened the Bible with them, if you have not brought them to church, if you haven't taught them the things that they need to be taught, then they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. So it's super important as us, as adults in their life, to say, hey, I want you to know God's word so that you can do God's word, and in turn, you'll be able to trust him and he will take care of the rest. If we look right above my verse in Proverbs 3, it says in Proverbs 3:1, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. Your kids and you cannot store God's commands in your heart if you don't know them. So open your Bible. Read them. Memorize them. It's so super important in order to be able to trust God. Now, there's a thing I know that happened with Daniel, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and happened in my life, that when you trust God, trouble comes. Trouble comes when we trust. You know why? Because when we're doing what God wants us to do, Satan does not like it. So trouble comes. So Daniel said, hey, when you want me to eat this food, I'm not going to eat it, and I followed God, and I know things are, God took care of that. But something else big comes up to Daniel. You see, Daniel's there, and the king is in charge of him, and now Daniel's one of the wise men, and the king has this dream. And he says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 10, it says, the astrologers replied to the king, because the king has asked them now, hey, I want you to tell me what my dream was and what it means. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? Like, hey, I had a dream last night. Can you tell me what it was? What if they did that? I would be like, no. But the astrologer replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. And no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here among people. They didn't know. The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. And because of the king's decree, the men sent to find and kill Daniel, and the king's men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. So, Daniel's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's in the king's service, he's a wise man, and for no reason except for the king just decides, hey, I had this dream, I wanna know it, you're gonna die. Sometimes when we're doing what God wants us to do, when we're following his path, unfair things happen. Because Satan doesn't really like it when you're following God's path. One time in our life, Ryan and I's life, we were being children's pastors in Kansas City, and we were doing what God wanted us to do. I knew we were. I was like, God, we're following you, we're serving you, we're working hard, we're doing all the things that God wants us to do. And Ryan gets sick. Now, people have gotten sick in our family lots of times, but this sickness was different. He kept having these little things happen, like he can't breathe all of a sudden. He can't move all of a sudden. Things are just wrong with his body. And we're like, God, what is going on? And as a wife with five small children, I was like, God, you got to take care of him because I can't do all of this by myself. I'm learning to trust God. He keeps getting sick and keeps getting sick and ends up in the hospital. He's in the hospital, and it wasn't just like, oh, he's in the hospital for a couple hours. He's in the hospital for days. And I'm like, they don't know what's wrong with him. And things are going wrong, and I'm like, God, I can't do this by myself. And I'm trusting God, but man, it's getting hard. I go to the hospital one day, and I just happen to be there when this happens. not just happened. God always has a plan. I'm standing next to a nurse friend of ours who's from church and happens to work at this hospital, and all of a sudden he stops breathing. Now, if you're in the hospital and somebody stops breathing, do you know what happens? They bring in the crash cart, and it's like people come running into the room. You know, when you're at a hospital, if people run into the room, it's not a good thing. It doesn't make you feel very confident. Because normally, you know, they kind of take their time at the hospital a little bit. Things are not a big deal. They're like, you're fine, you're not dying. Well, they were like, you're not fine, you are dying. We're bringing in the crash cart. And the nurse friend next to me is like, it's going to be okay. And you can see in her eyes, it's not going to be okay. She's like, we need to leave the room now. I was like, what do you mean we need to leave the room now? No, my husband and that. She's like, come on. And they're like yelling things. The hospital administration comes up. I was like, my husband is going to die. Like, he was fine. He's still here today. He was allergic to the medicine they gave him, and it like caused a whole lot of havoc with a lot of things because, you know, when your heart's not beating, they didn't really like that very much. But he ended up okay, except for that he still had this mystery illness. And I'm like, God, when is the next thing going to happen with him? Like, is he going to be okay long term? I didn't know. And for the next 4 years, we didn't know until actually we moved here. A doctor finally diagnosed him. We know what he has. It's not a great illness, but it's manageable. And we know he's not going to die tomorrow, so that's good. But we move here, and he has this illness. We finally figure out what he has, and something else happens because it's just like Daniel and the lions, or Daniel and this food. Food happens. The dream happens. Well, this happens to us. We finally get a diagnosis for him, and one of our kids has a mystery illness. Mystery illnesses run in our family. In fact, this mystery illness that our kid has had it for 5 years. We do not know what's wrong with him. In fact, I took a trip to Duke University a couple weeks ago with this child because he went to the undiagnosed clinic. There's only a few of them in the world. There's only a very few patients that get accepted to it, and we get accepted to it, yay, because we have a mystery disease. I trust God. I don't know what the future holds for that disease. I don't know what the future, what that disease is, but I trust God because I know that he took care of my husband. And I know that when my dad had a brain tumor at the age of 8, he was miraculously healed, and I know that I can trust God. And I know that when my dad was held at gunpoint 3 times, he trusted God, and I can trust God. And so we look at Daniel and his friends. Someone has been sent to kill them, and Daniel says, hey, wait a second. Let me talk to God, because I know I can trust him, and ask him what the dream means, and let me get back to you in just a little bit. Give me some time. Now, Daniel, you think, could do this on his own. He could pray and talk, but he goes to his friends, and he says, hey, boys, pray. We as Christians, it's important for us to do the same thing. Hey, let's pray, talk to our friends, and say, hey, pray. And pray they did, because in verse 19, it says, that night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He was safe. He tells the king what dream he had. Now, isn't that so cool? Like, sometimes we gloss over things in the Bible, but I'm like, God told Daniel the dream the king had, and he told the dream to the king and told him what it meant, and he saved his life and a lot of other people's. It's so cool what God does. Daniel's safe. His friends are safe. In fact, he's kind of a stand-up guy, Daniel, because he says to the king and the people in charge, he's like, hey, I know I interpreted the dream, but these friends of mine, they're really cool. They prayed. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get put in charge of stuff too. They're kind of in a good spot right now. And Ryan and I kind of felt like we were in a good spot. We moved here to Wisconsin. We were doing what God wanted us to do. He's led and guided us. We're doing life together. But one thing I've learned is that trust requires tenacity. That just means when things go wrong, you have to keep trusting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have trusted God when they didn't eat the king's food. They trusted God to be able to know the dream. And now they're going to trust God because, you know, the king might put some things in the way, but Satan likes to use a lot of things to get after you. And he puts some jealous men next to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they know that, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're following God, and you have something that we don't, and we want it. And so they're jealous. And they're like, hey, what can we do to get rid of these guys? Because we want to be in charge and not them. Let's see. They pray to God, and they bow down to him every day, if we decide to convince the king that he's more important than God, which is a pretty easy thing to do, then we can get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to, get out of here. So they convince the king to build this big statue, and they say, hey, everybody in the land, you have to bow down to the statue, and you can't bow down to anything else. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego know God's word. They know that the Bible says, hey, only worship the Lord your God. And so instead of bowing down, they say no, and they're told you're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace if you do that. Now, these guys have been through a lot. They were taken out of the land. In fact, I need a little helper here. Mason, can you come help me for a minute? He doesn't know I'm doing this. He's like, yeah, it's totally. But you know, you were there, and you look strong and healthy. And you know, Lexi likes him, so we can too. Come on up. He's pretty smart. He's going to college right now. So he's a lot like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're one of, maybe you could be Shad. Let's just call him Shad up here. And he has these things happening. He was presented with the food, but he didn't eat it. So just hold on to that for a second. He trusted God because, hey, God will take care of me if I eat fruits and vegetables too. And then he trusted God when we need to know the dream. So there you go. You know God's dream or trusting God with it. And then, you know, there's this fire thing happening. They're going to not bow down to the statue. There you go. That's pretty easy. You're okay. Well, maybe you've had a week kind of like the last couple weeks have been a little bit crazy in our life. So these things have happened. About 3 weeks ago, Ryan's truck stopped working, and it needed to go in the shop. It was under warranty, which is fine, but he hadn't had a truck for 3 weeks. Yay for that. And then, you know, I'm gone to Duke University, and they are doing all these tests on my kid, and that's super duper fun. In fact, they say, hey, you know what? It's really cool that your kid is sick, but we also want to do a skin biopsy on you. Not the funnest thing I've ever done. And you need to get your blood drawn. I do not like needles, so there you go. There's just a little bit of things to do there. And then Ryan calls me while I'm gone to Duke University. He says, hey, I'm driving Ryden's car because my truck is in the shop, and Ryden's car's broke down. Let's take that one to the shop too, because, you know, why not? The car number two. I get home on Friday night. I'm there. Things are happening. We decide we're going to have this gender reveal for Pastor Nikki at my house. That night happens to also be the teen life group at my house. So, you know, there's just like 30 or 40 people coming over. And water is pouring out from underneath the kitchen sink, spraying at me, not just pouring. Oh, whoops, you're dropping things. Mason, you can't pull. You got lots of stuff here, dude. Come on. Don't let them fall. You gotta hold on to it all. Hold on to it all. In fact, so much so, my Jeep needs new tires. So yeah, not a big deal. It's just making noise, so no problem there. The truck keys to the truck at the west side go missing because, you know, who needs keys in order to make a truck work, right? Mason! Mason is dropping things. We're not even done yet, Mason. We see because we get a phone call that there's water in the basement at the west side this week. Because, you know, why not? Man, you are not very good at this. Come on, dude. We have water in the basement. Pastor Aaron, who's right up here, Pastor Aaron goes to the other side, and he calls Pastor Ryan, and he's like, hey, I just chased some kids down who were graffitiing the other building. Yay for the walls in the church, the windows, and the glass. And, hey, we just need to send some of the pastors over there to clean it up. So all the pastors are over there. They're cleaning up. Instead of doing their jobs, we're going to clean up graffiti this week. Yay for that. Ryan's calling me and telling me about that, and then he goes, hey, Regan's car is on the side of the road now, just a different one of our kids in a different car. So there we go, we have that one. On the way to church last night, so you know, like this week just couldn't get any better. Ryan's like, yeah, the toilet clogged. I was trying to fix it before I came to church because, you know, why wouldn't a toilet clog during the week? And then he goes to get in his truck, which he got back yesterday and drove to Milwaukee, and it doesn't start. Yay for that. And so he brings a different kid's car to church. So we can either laugh about all of this or we can cry. We can run away and say, hey, you know what? We're pastors here, and all of these things keep happening, and maybe it's been in your life. You're like, oh, that kind of sounds like my week. Or maybe you're like, oh, that sounds like last month to me. And all these things are happening, and you're holding them all up, and instead of trusting God, you're just trying to take care of it yourself. Because you see, all of these things can look like a big pile of stuff, and it can be hard to hold, and you can be dropping water bottles. Or you can just let God take it. You can let God take away the things that you don't need to hold on to because he's got it. We can know that when a tornado comes, He's going to provide. We can know that when a car breaks down, He's going to give you the money to fix it, because you've tithed. We know that when the toilet breaks, you have a plunger, thank you, Jesus. And we know that when you need a new garbage disposal, yeah, that's what we needed. There's a plumber around the corner. God's got this too. And when there's graffiti, it can be cleaned up. And God can give Pastor Andrew dreams about where the keys are for the West Side truck. And when illnesses come that we don't know about, God's got these too, because we've learned to trust and obey. And when all the things, fiery darts are coming at you, when it feels like a video game, and all the things are coming and you're like, hey, this is time to level up, we can do and say exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king. You can throw that over there and sit on it if you want. They can say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace. That's awesome. Thank you, Mason. Thank you, thank you. We can say, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up, because they knew to trust in God. They already knew that he would take care of them. We get to choose like they chose. When things are going wrong, we can be like, hey, is this, you know, stuff that I can't handle and it's too much and I'm just not gonna do God anymore. Like, you know what? All these things are going wrong. I was trusting God, but you know, there's just too much now. It's just too much. And I don't really need to go to church on Sunday morning because I'm tired. I have too much to do. Or we could be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, you know what? I'm gonna stand even when it's hard. And I've learned that trusting God is a whole lot easier when we do it together. Trusting God is easier together. So when I don't feel like getting up in the morning, when I don't feel like maybe going to youth group or going to life group, going to church, it's a whole lot easier when we do it together. Be around God's people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced that fire and they went in and they came out. And then when the next test came, because if you look a little farther down in the story, Daniel had the same trouble. He had the same problem. They wanted him to bow down to the king, and he knew he was only supposed to bow down to God. But he knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's story. Like, hey, they were going to go in the fire. They went in the fire. They came out the other side. And now, same crazy, jealous people are saying to Daniel, if you don't bow down to the king, we're going to throw you in a lion's den. And although the lions are a different thing, it's the same problem. I'm going to go in there and they're going to eat me up. Fire's going to burn me. Lions are going to eat me. But I know that if I continue to serve God, he will be with me. And we can know that too, because when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, yes, he was, he came out without the lions eating him. He had problems. There were things in his life that were bad. It was too crazy. But he trusted God, and God pulled him through. And that's what I know he will do for you. I know that's what he does for me. And I know that when I give it to God, life gets a whole lot easier. And even though the things keep happening, like here we are, we're pastors, and you know, all these things happened this week, I could look at it and be like, yeah, we are in the wrong business, because I have a smart husband. And I tell you, we've worked for 5 pastors that said, hey, Ryan, can you build a building? Because he can do it. He can build a building. He can fix your computer if you need him to. Just go there. He's like, yeah, I got that. If you need to lead a group of people, man, he is a leader. I got this husband who can do amazing things. He's raised 5 children who are brilliant. And I'm telling you, I married a really good man who can do whatever. But he trusts God. And that is more important than anything else he could possibly do. And he knows that because he trusts God, he is exactly where God wants him to be. And when the things come, he knows that he's doing what God called him to do. Because more important than anything else in this world is for people to know Jesus. and that's what he does every day. And so Ryan constantly teaches me. My dad constantly taught me. And I know the Lord continues to teach me to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, because if it was just me and all these things happened, I would run. In all my ways, I submit to him, and he makes my path straight. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, my life verse. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that we can give everything to you. That when things go wrong, when trouble comes, you are more than enough. That we can submit to you, that we can hand it to you, and that through everything, you give us all that we need. Help us to trust you today, God. Whatever's going on in our lives, let us hand it over to you. Let us trust you with the small things so that we can trust you in the big things. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. With all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I said at the beginning of the message that if you were looking for hope or purpose to your life, that you would get the opportunity to receive that hope. Today we talked about trusting God and not leaning on our own understanding. That starts by putting God in charge of your life. There's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to earn being part of God's family. But God did something for us already. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for us, to pay the price for our sin, all the bad things we've done, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free, and so that we could be part of God's family. The work's already been done, but we have to do our part. We have to recognize that Jesus did that for me. Not only do I recognize that God wants me to follow him, but he wants me to put him in charge of my life. The way we do that is a two-part deal. First part is prayer. Praying is having a conversation with God to make the decision where we put him in charge of everything. The second part is water baptism. That's where we get to share with our Focus family that we made that decision. We go public with the decision we made in private. But that first part, the prayer, that's what I want to do with you now. So what's going to happen is I'm going to say a few words at a time, and you're going to repeat after me. And if you want to make God in charge of your life, say that prayer with me. But we don't pray alone here at Focus Church. I'm going to ask all of the Focus family to do it with you. So let's pray right now. Let's say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus back to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.